Welcome to today's podcast show. Our guest today is Carrie, who's originally from London, but now is living just outside of Barcelona. So thank you very much for joining us today, Carrie.
Thank you for having me on.
Great. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what was life like for you before you decided to move to Spain?
So prior to moving to Spain, I was working as a broadcast journalist, mainly in television, in news and sport, which sounds quite glamorous, but it was the London commute. So often getting up in the middle of the night, because I do an early shift, so it could be 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning, and driving or getting the tube or the metro to work if it was late enough, which was they started at 5 a.m. And I'd always had a passion for Spain and all things Spanish, having spent a year out in Madrid and a year after university in Barcelona. So I'd always had this hankering to come back and live here. So my life in London was good, but always with the knowledge that one day I would be returning to Spain, which turned out to be the case.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. So how long have you been living in Spain now?
So I moved here in 2003, but for the first 3 years, me and my then boyfriend, now husband, we commuted to and from London in a very environmentally commute. I'm very embarrassed to say that now, but at the time, people didn't think so much about the damage that flying did to the environment. So we were able to travel to and from on budget airlines and continue with our work in London, which was fantastic because at the time that the pound was very strong. So I was working as a freelance, so I was able to earn, you know, a decent amount of money. And then when I came to Barcelona, I was able just to chill and relax and enjoy my time here and also establish some kind of lifestyle that I wanted to live. So 3 years, and then when I fell pregnant with my first child, then we had to decide whether to stay in London or Barcelona, and we chose Barcelona. It wasn't a very difficult decision. So permanently, in answer to your question, in a long-winded way, I've been living here permanently since 2006.
Okay. Well, that's all right. And I mean, it's nice to have the ability to do some of the back and forth travel. And I know what you mean, though, that, you know, it wasn't the best environmentally, but back in 2003, it wasn't something that we really thought about or it wasn't even talked about at the time.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, we can't do it now for lots of reasons. And I think I wouldn't be doing it on the same level, but it definitely gave me a chance to experience the two different lifestyles. And if I hadn't been able to do that, who knows if I would have actually ended up living here. So it worked out well for me.
Right. Good. And you said you did spend some time in Madrid before?
Yes, I lived in Madrid. So I studied Spanish and French at university with European studies, which seems such a defunct degree now because it was all about Britain being part of the European Union. And part of that degree meant that you spent half a year in France and half a year in Spain. So in Spain, I lived in Madrid, which was fantastic. During the winter months, my memories are being very, very, very cold in the middle of the street after an evening out, nightclub. I say evening out. It was always like you'd always get in at 7 a.m. at that time. But it was fantastic. I mean, you know, that really sparked my passion and love for Spain. They're such warm, inviting people, the madrileños. And, you know, I could speak the language, so that helped, you know, feeling much more integrated. And then the opportunity came after I'd graduated to work in Barcelona just as an English teacher, as so many people do when they first come to Spain. And that was only for a year, but that was the time of the Olympics when the city had reinvented itself. Yeah, so it really was becoming much more internationally focused, and it just had this vibe about it. And I became completely smitten. It was a place that I'd never really experienced before. So that was a year. And then I went back and worked within journalism for around 15 years and then came back to Barcelona again.
So when you came back, did you ever kind of debate, is it going to be Barcelona? Should it be Madrid? Or did you just know that Madrid or that Barcelona was it?
Yeah, I did think about Madrid. But having spent that year in Barcelona and really appreciating having, you know, the mix of an urban hub next to the Mediterranean was so unique. I just envisaged, you know, having a mix of that sort of summer and winter lifestyles in one, which you don't get so much in Madrid because, you know, your nearest beach is around 2.5 hours away, I think, in Valencia. So yeah, I had thought about it. And, you know, I still often think, oh, I wonder how different my life would have been if I'd gone to Madrid. But, you know, because I sometimes miss that, the real sort of kind of the urban vibrancy that you get in a capital city, and being from London, obviously, I can appreciate that. It's much more low key and tranquil in Barcelona, but there are so many other advantages that I'm glad that we took this decision in the end.
Excellent. That's great. And so what are you doing now in Barcelona?
So when I first came to Barcelona, I set up a company, which I still have, which is called Mum Abroad, which I launched after the birth of my first child with a friend of mine. We were both young mothers living in Barcelona with newborns, having no extended family nearby and not having a clue about motherhood. I mean, really quite useless. And so we combined our skills of journalism, and her background was internet marketing, to create this website, which essentially was a go-to portal for the international community living in Barcelona. And we did it purely selfishly, just to really find out where to go with babies, you know, where there were groups, where you could go breastfeed, where you could go to a restaurant, you know, day trips. And it grew organically. So it started in Barcelona, and then grew to cover the whole of Spain. And we now do France, Italy, and Germany as well. So that's one business. And my other business is a communications and creative agency, which is called Big Communications. So I balance out the two. And I also have a radio show, and I've just written a book. So I'm one of these people that has a few projects on the go, because we all know what it's like here in Barcelona with work. It's difficult to find, and you need a portfolio of mini careers, really, to sustain the lifestyle that we all want.
Yes, and I know that exactly, because I do a few different things as well. So travel writer, the podcast here, I've got some websites, house and pet sitting, and tutoring English. So
I think we can all relate. And the therapy is good as well. I mean, it's not only sort of for your own security, but it's lovely to be able to have the mix of things as well, you know, not to be in that situation where you're doing the same job every day, which many of us have had a background of doing. So yeah, it's much more challenging, obviously, to be able to juggle the different sort of, you know, mini jobs or careers or whatever you want to call it. But ultimately, is, you know, the challenging is good. You know, it gives you that kind of sometimes the fire in the belly that you need.
I think so too. And I enjoy doing some completely different things every day. So it's great. So what would be the best advice that you could give somebody, or maybe that you received before moving abroad?
Well, I think just on the back of what we've just been talking about would be the employment situation. I think that many of us come to a foreign country being very well qualified and even speaking the language, and you think that it might be easy to slot into a new job or find a new job, and it really isn't like that. It's very, very difficult to find employment and employment that you like. So I would say, one, learn the language, two, be very realistic about job prospects. And it really helps that if you're a self-starter, if you're self-motivated and you have the ability to set up your own business, and be prepared for those ups and downs that job insecurity brings. But in the same token, you know, the plus side is that one doesn't have to earn as much money as maybe you would do living a conventional lifestyle back home, in the fact that you have so many of the things free that you would pay for. You know, you don't need to go on holiday to the sunshine as much because it's there on your doorstep, or experience that, you know, being immersed in a foreign culture. So you don't have to earn as much, but do be realistic about the job prospect, the job market, and try and, you know, not be embarrassed to use sort of skills that perhaps you wouldn't be using or utilizing at home, but here are seen as very, very positive skills. I think that, you know, you have to be very open to all sorts of job opportunities. So that's probably what I would give as advice.
Okay, excellent. And what was one of the things that surprised you the most about living in Spain?
Oh, thing that surprised me the most. Well, I might say that I think I was probably a little bit naive about thinking that after a few years I'd be fully immersed and integrated into the local culture. I've accepted that now. It's not an issue for me because I've created my own network of friends, which are predominantly international. But what was interesting, I think when I was a student, I found it much more easy to integrate because we were all slightly obsessed as students to speak the language, and we would go out there and make friends with the locals so that we would improve our Spanish and do what we were told to do, you know, as foreign mm-hmm. students. But obviously, if you come on your own volition, you don't really need to do that in the same way. And, you know, perhaps the pressure is off to do that. But I am quite surprised that after so many years that I don't have as many local friends as I thought perhaps I would do. I do have some, but I have to be really honest with myself and say that, you know, the good friends are not the local friends. They are from the international community who have all gone through the same experiences as me. You know, I've accepted that. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but perhaps in answer to your question, that's probably surprised me quite a lot.
I agree with you there too. And I think part of it is because we make friends with people who we have similar things in common interests. And when we do move as international people to different countries, we tend to have that same type of thing of, oh, where do I find this? How did you do that? How did you deal with this? When it's moving and finding stuff and the bureaucracy and documentation for things, which a lot of times local people don't have to do that. Like when people ask me when I'm tutoring and they say, oh yeah, I'm going to be moving to Canada. And they'll ask me, you know, what's the best school or how do I do this or apply for that or things. And I say to them, I don't know. Like, I don't know for what the best school is for you to apply as a foreign student. What do you want to study? Each province in Canada has different regulations if they want to apply for a provincial level or a Canadian level, like anywhere in Canada. And I only learned that from somebody I was talking with who planned to immigrate to Canada because I've never had to deal with those things. And so we do make friends with people who are dealing with and going through the same things that we've been through as well.
Yeah, I think that's inevitable. And that's no bad thing, because I think that obviously through shared experiences, whether it's, you know, motherhood or education mm-hmm. of kids or just by the fact that you've moved abroad, I think those are good foundations to make very good relationships on. And I'm thinking that actually perhaps if I hadn't moved to Spain and gone through that, I wouldn't have developed these new relationships if I'd been still in London, because I wouldn't have gone through these new experiences. So, you know, in many ways it's widened my network of friends and it's made it a much more eclectic network than as if I'd stayed put. So yeah, I'm welcoming that.
Yeah, that's great. So you've been here for a while. So within Spain, do you have a favorite city or a favorite place that when you want to get away from where you're at that you like to go to as kind of your weekend getaway or vacation place or something?
Am I allowed to say France? Only because if people look at a map, they'll realize how near Barcelona is to the French border. And mm-hmm. and I know Spain very well. I've traveled it extensively. And what has been amazing perhaps for me and my family in the last few years is being able to travel to France in an hour and a half. So much so, actually, we bought a little tiny village house there fairly recently, which we try to escape to when we can. Mm-hmm. Difficult moment. And it's lovely to be able to have that complete contrast in culture and language and lifestyle so near, you know, being on your doorstep. So actually, I would say France, not to diss the rest of Spain, which is fantastic. What I love about Spain is that, you know, every region is very different. They're like mini countries in themselves because, you know, there's often a dialect spoken, the landscapes mm-hmm. are different, you know, the food. So yeah, I mean, if I had to choose one region, I'd probably either go Madrid or Andalusia.
Yes, both very popular. And you're right, with the location of Barcelona, it is so close to the French border, the mountains and Andorra. A lot of people don't realize that between Spain and France, there's a tiny little country called Andorra, which is great for hiking and skiing and things like that. It's quite small, but it's a good place too. So yeah, we're definitely a lot closer to the French border than we are to a lot of parts of Spain.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What has been the biggest adjustment for you with your life moving to Spain?
Oh, biggest adjustment. I guess just not having on tap your family. That has been quite difficult. Initially, it was fine because we were very young and we didn't have children, but the kids were very young. It was extremely challenging to be someone who was trying to work and bring up two young children in a, in, you know, essentially a foreign country. We chose the lifestyle, so I'm not trying to get anyone to feel sorry for me, but having to adjust to literally do everything yourself and not be able to rely on anyone else was difficult. Although, you know, within time, then you develop your own family, as many foreigners will be able to relate to. They don't have their own family here, then you create families via close friends, and they become your sort of surrogate family. So it's really sort of that's quite a big adjustment to sort of recreate that family network in you know, a completely different geographical location.
Right. And especially when you're having children and first time parents too, because that within itself is an adjustment. And you can't just call mom and say, "Hey mom, this is going on." And she says, "Oh, go get this stuff or that stuff." Cause then you think, okay, what is it called in Spanish? And is it here or what's similar to it?
Yeah. I mean, it's a steep learning curve, and that's, you know, you have to find out very quickly what works and what doesn't without relying on, you know, experience of the older generation. But that's no bad thing. It just means that you're just a little bit more independent at the end of the day.
That's right. So then that brings us to, what's one thing that frustrates you about living in Spain?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because everyone thinks you're on holiday the whole time when you know, you speak to your friends back home and they think, oh, you've just got the perfect life, that sort of positive toxicity that sometimes people impose on you. And, you know, it's difficult sometimes to say, you know, life here is actually quite normal. We're very lucky geographically and you know, climate-wise, that goes without saying. But there are day-to-day challenges, as there are anywhere, and sometimes those are exacerbated when you're a foreigner, because it's often much more difficult, the bureaucratic processes. As a foreigner, even if you speak the language, it's just that much more challenging. So yeah, I think the bureaucracy inevitably is a key issue. It takes, I can't tell you how long I've been trying to get my British driving license into a Spanish driving license, because now that we're out of the EU, unfortunately, that's one of the many processes that we have to go through. And it is incredibly frustrating. I've been on the same website pretty much every day trying to get an appointment, and there's only one place that I can go and do it, but you have to have it by law, and there's no one really around that can fast track you, and it's time consuming. So I think those are without doubt the most frustrating elements. But I would say, in contrast to that, what I've been pleasantly surprised at is things like services, certain services, not all services, but, you know, maybe we're talking about things like construction, domestic services, I've been pleasantly surprised with. And that's a stereotype that people often have, particularly about Spain, is that, you know, that whole mañana thing, that really, well, certainly in Catalonia, is something that I haven't experienced. So, you know, the pros and the cons, they eventually outweigh each other.
Of course, and every country has pros and cons. And that's why I like to ask. And sometimes it's just personal experience, something that has been very frustrating to you, other people may have not had an issue with. And I mean, and that's not just here in Spain, that's everywhere in the world. So I think it just gives the listeners a good way to prepare of some people's experience have been good in this area, some has been very frustrating in these areas. But the bureaucracy is, I think, almost every person I talk to, there's some part of that bureaucracy that they find frustrating. And for me, I'm sure there's people who have moved to Canada who have found some of the bureaucracy there frustrating with their experience. I just wouldn't know it because I haven't had that experience.
Yes, exactly. So it's something we all go through wherever we are.
Exactly.
You can't live a life without frustrations. It's just how you respond to it at the end of the day, isn't it?
Right. I think sometimes I think, is this a test to see how bad I want it? Is it takes so long and frustrates me so much to see just how bad do you want this?
Exactly. So the key is just to breathe, take it easy, and realize you do want it, so don't let it get to you.
Exactly. Do you miss anything from London?
Yes, I do. Obviously, family, that goes without saying. I miss more than anything as well the pubs. I don't know, Sally, if you're familiar with pubs in and around London, but there is literally nothing quite like it on a Sunday afternoon, maybe having had a walk in the morning, probably in the rain. And then you go into a London, they've got all the newspapers, you know, newspapers in paper laid out in front of an open fire. And you can sit and order some lovely pub food, which is great in London at the moment. You know, these gastro pubs producing really lovely sort of fresh, enticing gastronomy. And spend, you know, open a bottle of wine with a group of friends and spend the afternoon there. And there is something about that convivial atmosphere I really miss. I mean, obviously, you can recreate it here, but not in the same way. You can do it at a chiringuito on the beach, maybe. But I do miss those, that kind of ambiance and the sort of history that goes with the buildings that pubs are often in as well. And then supermarkets. I mean, supermarkets are getting better here, but there is still, yeah, it's still a bit challenging to find sometimes.
That's funny that you bring that up, because I was just talking to somebody today saying it's interesting when I need to go grocery shopping, I have to go to probably 3 or 4 different places because one place doesn't have everything. And you have to go, like, I go to one place for a couple of things. And like, for an example, coconut milk, the main grocery store, the big grocery store, the two actually that I go to, neither one of them has coconut milk. So I need to go to a different grocery store for coconut milk and different things. I mean, you know, then of course there's a couple that I get most of my stuff from, but there's always the odd thing that's like, no, I need to go to this place for this and I have to go to this place for this. But luckily it's all within a 10-minute walk from my house. So it's not so bad, but it's not just go to the grocery store, everything you can get anytime. And it just doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah, it can be a full-time job, can't it? I mean, you often, if you need to go to a market to get products, you're in often a long queue because there's one stall that always has the best meat or vegetables or whatever you're getting. And then you've got the abuela in front who's chatting away about the recipe that she's cooking that evening. You're looking at your watch thinking, I've got to be back at my desk. And you just think, okay, this is just, you just have to go with it.
Exactly. And it's very common for somebody to be chatting with the cashier or anybody about what they're making, how they're making it. And it's not just a quick go through pay and get out. So it's that slow down adjustment.
Yeah, there's a recipe book there, isn't there? If actually I'd paid attention all the times that everyone was talking about their recipes, I should have been writing them down. And just, you know, these are the recipes that don't get out there.
Right. So what tips or advice would you give someone who's thinking about moving to Spain?
Well, it's very easy just to say go for it. But actually, I don't think it's as easy as that. I think I just alluded to a book I wrote, which is, well, I contributed to. It's 10 stories about the challenges of moving abroad, and mainly Spain. Half the writers are from Spain. And it's a bit of a reality check. I think that people need to realise that it isn't easy. I think it's suited to some people rather than others. But I think that you need to be pretty resilient and optimistic in your mindset, because it is challenging. Having said that, if you overcome the challenges, it's incredibly rewarding. But be prepared for the long haul, that it's not going to be something that you'll suddenly think, oh, I've done the best thing ever overnight. It takes, you know, many years, I would say, before you really begin to reap the benefits. Initially, there's a kind of honeymoon period, I think, where, you know, you are going down to the beach and having a beer and putting your feet in the sand. And that is amazing. And then the reality does kick in. You think, oh, I've got to earn a living and, you know, find somewhere to live and create a network of friends, you know, maybe establish a business. And those are all extremely challenging things to do. So I think that I don't want to put people off at all, because, you know, the lifestyle I chose, and I don't regret it for a second, but it has been at times difficult. I just think, you know, luckily enough, I was able to overcome the challenges I was faced, but it's not easy, and it might not be the lifestyle for everyone. So, you know, do your research, speak to people who live there or live here, I should say, and make sure that you cover everything before you really make the decision.
Right. And two, to take into consideration what one person likes, another one doesn't. So as we're talking to people and figuring that out, I mean, that's why people live in different parts of Spain. So even though they like Spain as a whole in general, many people relocate to different areas and different parts of Spain, because as you said earlier, each kind of region is kind of like their own little country in a way. They have different dialects, different types of food, some different traditions, different holidays. So it does vary from region to region, even though we are all a part of Spain.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Carrie, for your time and joining us today. I will have some links put down in the show notes for your different sites and things like that in case people are interested in checking them out. Or, you know, maybe some of our listeners do end up going to Italy or France or something, and you've got some information for being a new mom there, and they can look up that information.
Great. Thank you, Sally, very much for having me on your podcast. It's been great.